He is risen. He is risen indeed. Good morning. And thank you for joining us and spending Easter morning with us. Oh, it's been such a great journey through Lent. We've reflected and we've learned so much. And here we are celebrating the empty tomb this morning. And we are just so appreciative that you've chosen to be with us this morning and celebrate this great day where Jesus overcomes death. And we get the assurance that our sins have been paid for, and that we too, if we believe, confess, and repent, that we too will be in eternity with God. So we are so appreciative that you've joined us here on this Easter morning, and we pray you find some new insight, some new vigor and energy after 3 days. Just the joy that comes. We just pray you feel that today with us. So I'd like to start this morning just with a prayer. Allow me to start us with a prayer this morning. Holy and living God, like a tomb's darkness that gives way to light, expose us this day to the newness of life. Open us to your love, to your acceptance, to your forgiveness, Lord. And to your peace. Reveal the possibilities that you have in store for us. Give us hope for the future and a passion for a life here and now. We pray in the name of the one who overcame the darkness and destroyed death forever, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. If you're at one of our other churches, campuses, and you're joining together, I know you've probably taken a few moments this morning to share your joys and concerns. And if you're joining us online, we know that God hears even the groanings of your hearts. So let me pray for us this morning as we come into this time of worship. Oh, gracious God, when everything was dark and it seemed like the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The radiance cast by your love spread and bursts forth with this resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of new life that shone on the first witness of the resurrection. And we praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life and hope and joy will live in each one of us every single day, and that we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. God of awesome joy, be with us this day as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let the light of your love flood into our lives and through us to all those who've been captured in the darkness, that the light may give them healing and freedom and hope. And as we witness the surprise of an empty tomb, the appearance of our Savior to Mary, and her good news brought to the disciples, let us remember that this good news exists for us today. Darkness does not win. Death is not victorious, Lord. Christ is risen for us and for all, and we're grateful, Lord. Grateful that you sit at the right hand of God and pray for us and you pray with us. And we're thankful that you hear all of our prayers and that we lift to you. And we're blessed that you call us to go and to share your light into darkness to our brothers and our sisters. We are raised with Christ to a new life of hope and service. And let the joy of this good news swirl around in our hearts. Let excitement for the service and ministry burst from us like Jesus did from that tomb. And let us truly be the Easter people that you've called us to be. For we ask these things in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to read a familiar passage. This is from the Gospel of John. It's the story of the empty tomb. I'm going to be reading chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, if you'd like to follow along. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And here's what it says. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken our Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, and both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over, and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand the scripture, or from scripture, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this point, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her too, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene, she went to the disciples with the news. I've seen the Lord," she said. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning I'd like to ask you, if you were an artist and someone asked you to paint an Easter picture, I'm pretty sure I know where most of you would begin. Almost certainly, you would begin with some kind of light. Somewhere in your picture, you would show the sun. Just breaking over the horizon. That's why so many churches have a sunrise service on every Easter Sunday. Light breaking through the darkness is the very essence of what Easter Day is all about. And this feeling is so deep that we expect nature itself to cooperate with us, don't we? If Easter morning begins overcast or it's raining or it's snowing, it's almost like we think that God may have forgotten what the day is all about. We'd love for Easter to be bright. We want it to be cheerful, overflowing with life. Dark, gloomy weather. Well, that's the right atmosphere for Good Friday. We may not like it, but we know that for that day, Darkness is almost appropriate, but not Easter. Easter just shouts sunshine and flowers and life. That's the expectation that we have for Easter. But the real truth is this. That isn't the way that the Bible tells the story. Remember how our scripture lesson for today begins. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. The man who wrote the Gospel of John, he was an artist with words and images. And he wasn't using words casually when he recalled the first Easter by telling us that it was still dark. John, like a master screenwriter, was setting the stage for us. He was preparing us for what was to follow in this illuminating story. You see, John, who gave us this gospel, emphasized the theme of light and darkness throughout his entire book. He even started the gospel that way. The first paragraph of the Gospel of John tells us that the Son came into the world as light, and that this light shines in the darkness, and that the darkness will never be able to overcome it. But now, as we come to the end of John's gospel, of John's story, it starts to look as if darkness has actually found a way to overcome the light. Jesus, the Son of God, has been condemned in the court. He's been beaten beyond recognition. He was humiliated. He was nailed to a cross. He died. The sky went black. And then he was sealed away in a borrowed tomb. The mood was dark. Jesus is dead. So John makes sure that we know that when one of his devoted followers, Mary Magdalene, returns to the tomb, she comes in the dark. As far as Mary Magdalene was concerned, it wasn't simply the darkness of early morning, though. In truth, with the death of Jesus, all of the light in Mary's life had gone. Before Jesus appeared in Mary's world, maybe 2 or even 3 years earlier, Mary had been living in perpetual darkness. Whether it was high noon or midnight, sunrise or sunset, it was all the same to Mary Magdalene, darkness everywhere. And we don't know all the details about her story, but history has painted a pretty gloomy past for Mary. It was said that at one point she harbored 7 demons. And this was the first century way of saying that Mary was just full of the devil. Evil had such control of her life that it seemed that she was hell-bent on self-destruction. The dark cloud that followed her seemed to keep her in this constant state of darkness. And then one day, we don't know where or when or how, she met this young man named Jesus. And rumor had it that he could cast out those demons that were plaguing her, and he did. On that day, Mary's darkness was overcome by the light. Before that day, people may have avoided her out of fear that darkness that she carried around may be contagious. But now that Jesus had come into her life, now they wanted to be near Mary, because to be near her now was like getting a transfusion of light for their own soul. now a radiance. Where there was darkness, now a radiance just shone around her and from her. I wonder, have you ever noticed that when we read about Mary, she's often the first one mentioned? That new light that she emits draws people close. She was a natural leader. And now that light, she was a natural leader, now that light had come into her life. But that was before the soldiers took Jesus and the cowardly courts unfairly condemned him and before the crowds bellowed for his blood. That was before they drained his body and they laid him lifeless in this tomb. Jesus was gone. And now the light had gone out of Mary's life. No wonder that the gospel writer says that when she made her way to the tomb, it was dark. Not just the lack of sunshine. It was dark. I'm quite confident that John purposely intends to tell us more about that morning other than the sun hadn't yet risen. He isn't the least bit concerned about what time of day it was. He's given us an explicit description of Mary's state of mind, as well as the minds of all of Jesus' followers that morning. Folks, I would go as far as saying, making a profound philosophical statement about the condition of the entire human race that day. That was what John was leading us to. It was dark when Mary got there. It was dark as hell. I want you to come with me for just a moment or two further back in the story. In fact, as far back as the beginning of our human recollection, as the Bible tells it, come to that time when the Bible says that humanity was living in a garden, in a paradise, back in the Garden of Eden. It was there that the whole human race went off track. It was there that Adam and Eve were expelled from that garden. And because of their choices, they received the sentence of death. Separation from the light. And the whole human race has been under that death sentence ever since. That's the darkness that the world experienced. The darkness that the world offers. Whatever joy life might bring, there's always an end to it. Whenever there was a celebration, whether it was a wedding or a birth or a victory in a war or a bountiful harvest festival, they knew that it would come to an end. It's the same with our human relationships. No matter how much you love someone, you couldn't keep that, or we can't keep that person forever. Because at one point, either that person is going to leave you, or you have to leave that person. And that's what death is about. Some philosophers thought that it was better that we should never love anybody, because to do so was only to build ourselves up to the bitter disappointment of losing that person, either because that person would die or because we would. Death had come into our world, and with death came the darkness. No matter how lovely the light that any day or any event or any person might bring to us, darkness would eventually destroy their light. So John's gospel has it right when he tells us that when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb that morning, that it was dark. It was dark for Mary. As I've already said, because the light of her life, the one who had broken through her darkness at some point before, was now gone. To her, the darkness, it had won again. It always did. That's what it seemed like to her. as far back as Mary could remember, darkness always had a way of coming out on top. And today was just, for her, was just one more victory for death and for loss. And John was giving us a deeper insight to why Mary showed up to that garden in the dark. So when she got there, and she found an empty tomb, the idea that a miracle had taken place, that wasn't the first thing that popped into Mary's mind. To her, she just figured that some cruel, vicious person had come along and stolen Jesus' body. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Mary must have thought? For her, how could it get any darker? She just couldn't bear this alone. So she took off for a place where she may find just a hint of light that could be left, just a hint of light that could be left in her world. She ran to tell John and Peter. And after they came to the tomb and they saw that it was empty, they went back home. But Mary stayed there. And even though the sun now had started to rise, Mary's inner darkness was still there. As far as she knew, she was the whole world, the whole human race was still in the dark, just like she was. As she stood there lost in the dark, full of despair, weeping, she heard a voice. It must be the gardener, she thought, asking her why was she crying. Mary explained that apparently someone had moved Jesus' body. And she asked the man where they had taken it. And the voice answered her so lightly, "Mary." Instantly, Mary knew that it was her Lord. It was Jesus. And the darkness rolled away. For Mary, for all of us, that is the moment when death lost its power and life won. That's when the power of darkness was broken, because the Easter light was born in the darkness. This is the great good news that I bring this Easter Sunday. Easter was not born in the sunlight. Easter was born in the dark. And it still comes to us in the dark. Whatever that dark place may be in your life, however fearfully dark that place may be for you, the light of Easter beams through in the person of our living Lord. Because when the power of death was broken by the resurrection of Jesus, all of the power of darkness was broken in all the other dark places of our lives too. Easter people, where do you still experience some darkness? Is it in the gloom of a habit that you can't break? Or maybe you hold on to the dark thoughts that you hate to acknowledge, even to yourself. Or is your dark place simply that collection of unfilled dreams, or a loneliness so deep that sometimes it makes you feel like you have a black hole where your heart's supposed to be? Or is it fear? Fear of someone, fear of some memory, of a loss, fear of even dying yourself. Church, whatever your darkness is, I want to tell you that the same Lord who came to Mary Magdalene so long ago in that early morning darkness of a dewy garden stands ready on this Easter Sunday to come to you, to oust the darkness from your life by the very power of the eternal light that is in Him. That's because Easter was born in the dark. Wherever there is darkness, Easter comes each and every day to bring this magnificent, life-changing light. By God's grace, may it be your light today. To God be the glory. Let's pray together. Risen and living God, we come before you as your Easter people, grateful that your light has broken into our darkness and that the empty tomb declares that hope is alive. Just as you called Mary by name in the darkness, call to us again, Lord. Meet us in the places where we still struggle and shine your resurrection light into every shadow of our lives. Lord, we thank you that death does not have the final word and that in Jesus, life and victory are ours. And now, Lord, we bring these gifts to you. We offer these gifts to you, and we would ask that you would receive our tithes and our offerings as an act of worship and trust. Use them to carry your light into our community and beyond, so that others may come to know the hope that we celebrate on this Easter Sunday. Take not only what we give, but Lord, take everything that we are and use it for your glory. We pray this in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.